I'm Paul Lancour with PodTech.net, and with me on the line is Kirsten Trusco. She's a senior manager with banking at Bearing Point and the lead of the Health Banking Group. Kirsten, thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And you've written a white paper, Consumer-Directed Healthcare, an Emerging M&A Market. And I was wondering, what inspired you to write this white paper?
Well, I'm glad you asked, and it was almost out of self-preservation, and it's probably in the last 18 months have been getting just a whole lot of inquiries from different venture capital private equity firms, whether they are branches of our top clients or their standalones. And a lot of the questions were around what's going on in this market, how is it growing, what kinds of things should we look for. We've done more conventional M&A within an industry. What should we be looking at for challenges? And it ended up with meetings 1, 2, 3 times a week. And finally, we thought, well, if we write the white paper, we can get that out and then have a conversation after that. And it's worked out well, that's philosophy.
So what kind of challenges are there in cross-industry merger and acquisition that differ from buying within your own industry?
Well, I'm glad you asked. And we had come up with that question ourselves as these questions were coming in from the different investors. And so we reached back over to Bearing Point Strategic Transaction Group, and specifically Joel, and you'll see him as one of the co-authors here, because they'd just done a study on the results for M&A across all different industries, but within their own industry, so within banking or within health or within insurance. And they had listed some of the challenges that had come out of that study. And some of the things came out as a challenge now with the cross-industry is that there's little to tap from past successes, as companies typically hadn't crossed into each other's industries when you look at health and banking. So if you're looking at a merger and acquisition, it's difficult to pull out your playbook from last time because it was going to be so different. And there's a lot of internal questioning when you're crossing outside of your industry with folks from different divisions or senior management saying, what the heck are you doing? We have enough challenges within our own industry. Why are you crossing outside? And so there's a number of examples of recent cross-industry acquisitions, and that was just a lot of the conversation we had with the Strategic Transaction Group.
So with that lack of history, what the heck are you doing? I mean, with such challenges, why would anyone want to take the risk in cross-industry acquisitions?
Well, so we've posed that question to all these investors that keep calling, whether they're venture capital or private equity or even our own clients. And, we've said, quite frankly, you didn't do so well with your last acquisition in your own industry. What are you doing messing around outside of it? And the consensus answer has come back to say, and these are folks that follow health and banking and insurance. They're bringing in their own depth of experience and statistics and all, and putting forth that, in their opinion, health is probably 20 years behind the financial industry on electronification of things, automation, getting rid of paper, whether it's paper communication or sending paper checks. So the opinion had been put forth that there's a lot of savings to be gained by crossing from health to banking just by leveraging existing processes over to another industry. So that was the main one. Another one, they had said that in some cases it was easier when you're crossing industries because people aren't as mired in the idea of, well, this is how we've always done it, so we're not going to change it. There seems to be people that are more open-minded to saying, hey, we haven't done this before, so let's look at it creatively and getting a better opportunity for a greenfield look at a business versus, having to look backwards. More open to changes in people, process, and technology. It ties back to the point we just made about how this we don't have to look at this as the way we've always done it. One of the things that's been of great interest, especially to the larger firms, is the cross-sell. So when you're buying within your own industry, generally part of the planned benefit of the acquisition is some kind of a cross-sell, selling products to the same or similar customers. And what the executives have said, both on the acquiring and acquiree, is that, hey, this is a whole new grouping, a whole new population of customers that we've never either done business with or never had access to. And it's whether it's consumers or small businesses or even large businesses. And it's been interesting to watch the thinking evolve as to what that can mean. So there was some excitement around that. The other thing, we talked about some of the efficiencies that can be gotten from crossing over banking to health. And we talked about electronification, so getting rid of a lot of the paper, automating processes, and driving efficiencies. The other thing we've seen is, and this has accelerated just in the last maybe 9 months, a greater appetite on the health side around the quality processes and Six Sigma type methodologies that help take errors out of the processes that exist. So it's almost like a perfect storm of all these things going on at once and coming together on the topic.
So it sounds like a lot of challenges and a lot of opportunities at the same time. So for anyone looking at M&A in the CDH space, what would be your input for them? What would you tell them?
Well, I'm glad you gave me the opportunity to answer the question. And there's three different suggestions that I would put forth. One is to learn the market. This isn't purely health, it isn't purely financial services, and it isn't purely insurance. So what we're finding as investors and clients come with this question is they're often looking at whatever their acquisition is purely from the lenses that they've always used, purely from the health or purely from the banking. And if you come at this too narrowly, any one of these can really trip you up. A lot of the work that we've done, it's usually in phases, but generally the initial piece of work is around kind of a learn the market and learn what might be a little different than what you may have perceived based on the industry lenses that you had started with. So that was one of them. Another is to have a plan. We've had a number of the investors come forth and say, well, tell us who to buy. We'll say, well, what's your plan? What's your vision for this piece of the industry? How does it augment what you already have? And there's often some impatience on the other side of the table saying, no, we just tell us who to buy right this minute. So some of the questions that we're posing and would put forth are part of making a plan. Is this acquisition, is it going to be a one-time standalone, or are you building a portfolio in this space? If it is a standalone, what kinds of returns are you looking for? How quickly do you believe that the management team can deliver? Things of that nature. If it's the latter, if you're building a portfolio, what are you constructing? What synergies are you seeking? How fast? How does this acquisition fit into those that you have already purchased or the categories you plan to purchase in? So you've got this holistic view and maybe a more reasonable view of how quickly your return will come. And then third is to understand intricately what the acquire company does. There's been a number of times we've been at the table with the investor and the C-level folks of the company to be acquired, and we'll get done with the meeting, and the company executives will leave the room, and the investor will say, so what'd you think? And in some cases, what the company has described that they're doing might not be what the industry is looking for. It might be taking a slice of revenue that is in a declining piece of the market, just a number of things that have made a huge difference in evaluating if it's a good acquisition. Some of the other areas to look at is not just what does the company do, but how. Some of the times we've done the deeper dive, and while on the surface it looks great, they're supplying the services that the industry needs, but they're doing it and it's manual, or it's a bunch of Excel files hung off each other, and it's really not scalable or stable or secure. Another thing to look at is their distribution model. Who are they selling to? Which customers are they serving? And it does their product set serve the ongoing and future needs? What problem are they trying to solve? For the customers that they think they have in the bag, do they really, based on our industry knowledge, and there are other customers that are similar that they should have in their distribution plan? So it gets down to a pretty granular view of that company itself, well beyond the numbers, because usually the investors are brilliant at working the numbers, and they've got that down pat, but really knowing the industry and what the industry needs are and how things are coming about is essential, especially when you're stepping outside your own sandbox for an acquisition.
Well, Kirsten, thank you very much for taking some time out and talking to us about this emerging opportunity.
Well, thanks for the time.
Kirsten Trusco is a senior manager with Bearing Point.